Greg and worship team for those great songs of worship. It's my delight this morning to welcome Ian and Janine Maxwell, who are the founders of Heart for Africa. And we as a church have had a 10-year partnership with Heart for Africa. In fact, I think I was saying in the email to Janine this week as we were planning the service that I believe it was 10 years ago that Travis Lule, the former quarterback from the BC Lions, was here in an evening as a fundraiser. And I recall him passing around his Grey Cup ring. And I remember thinking, it's only in a church service where you would feel confident to pass around a Grey Cup ring and that it would come back to you, you know. And but it's been a great 10 years, you know, and so much has happened. Carol, you heard that, message from God a few years back about build the school, and so much has happened. And I would encourage all of you to go on the Heart for Africa YouTube channel, and they've got some videos now of kids talking about what is inflation, and it's absolutely incredible. And those kids must be like 10 years old, right? So 10 years ago, they wouldn't have been born, and to think what has all transpired here. So come on up here, Janine. Let me say a word of prayer for you. Thanks so much for coming to our church today. And let me pray. Gracious God, just thank you for your servant, Janine. And thank you for the message that you have given to her to share with us. And so I pray for receptive hearts now for us to receive from you. Speak through your servant, your daughter, now I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Good morning, church. I think you've all been taught sani bonani. You may have heard sao bona, but I'm going to say sani bonani, which is the plural, and your response is? Yebo. So sani bonani is me saying, I see you, which is the greeting in Siswati, the country where we live. And your response, yebo, means yes, I've been seen. It's kind of cool, isn't it? So let's try that one more time. Sani bonani.
Yebo.
Well done. Sani bonani.
Yebo.
There we go. We got it. Thank you so much. Well, very happy to be here in 10 years. I mean, it's crazy to think that we've been working together for 10 years. So glad to be back here. In fact, it was 13 years ago today that Ian and I and our two children moved to Swaziland. We landed and moved our family there 13 years ago today. So it's also a very important day for us. But we're proudly Canadian, very happy to be back to the land of all dressed potato chips and poutine. You know, very, very happy. And it's interesting because, you know, we live in Africa now. So sometimes people will say to us, you know, is there something I can bring you from home, especially Canadians? You know, you guys are awesome. You know, can I bring you something? And I'll say, can you bring me cheese curds? And there's always a sort of a pause, like, really? You really want cheese curds? I'm like, yeah. Josie's really good at bringing cheese curds. And I'm like, just put them in the suitcase, put them in a Ziploc, and just pray that the dogs don't find them. And they've made it. And if you can throw in a pack of Swiss Chalet gravy, that just makes the best. So with our frozen French fries and our Swiss Chalet gravy and cheese curds, we are back at home again. So we're happy to be here. Yes, 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 yes. It's poutine African style. And don't judge, all right? I hear you laughing. We're happy to be here, and you're currently in this series called Exiles Everywhere, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I told Pastor Rick that I've actually watched the first one three times, because people often refer to us as being missionaries, and I never liked that word, because I'm actually a really terrible missionary. I'm a business person who God has sent to Africa to work, but ambassador, That one I can get my head around, because I am an ambassador. That's exactly what we're doing there in Africa. And Pastor talked about an ambassador in exile is someone, I think we have that on the screen, there we go, is someone whose home is somewhere else, but they're living in a new country for an undefined amount of time. Now, our plan is to be there forever, but God's plan might not be that, so we have to be listening to him. An ambassador represents a sovereign power while living abroad, and they immerse themselves in the culture, but they don't change to the culture. I thought that was interesting. An ambassador, living in a foreign land on purpose, with a purpose-driven life, because they were sent with a purpose. An ambassador needs to know the cultural nuances of their country. So all of those things landed well with me, because that's exactly what we're doing. And we fall under that definition of an ambassador in exile. We live in a tiny kingdom with a small K that used to be called Swaziland. And this is our king. He is the last absolute monarch on the continent of Africa. And the country was called Swaziland. But when he turned 50, he decided, let's change the name of the country. And because he's the king, he can do that. So now we're called Eswatini. So sometimes you'll hear us say Swaziland, sometimes you'll hear Eswatini, and it's the same country. He's just decided that we should be the land of the Swazis, and so we are. Until hearing this series, like I said, I never thought of myself as being an ambassador, but we are going to start using that word. Pastor Rick also mentioned that a calling needs a caller. And I thought that that was interesting. And he said that a plumber doesn't have any more of a more important calling than a pastor, because you're both called by the same caller. And we are called by Jesus to be ambassadors in Eswatini. Now, things might be different today, and you have to be honest. There's no cheating on this. But back in when I was a kid, if you're asked by the pastor to surrender your life to Jesus and give him your all, and there was this fear amongst the congregants that if you totally surrendered to Jesus, he might ask you to move to Africa. Yeah? Raise your hand if some of you are hesitant. Oh, come on now. Yeah. Yeah. It was the greatest fear of Christians back in the 70s, I think, that if you totally surrendered your life, you'd have to move to Africa. And here we are. And it's not so bad, honestly. So we've been there for 13 years. We now have 480 employees on Project Canaan, and Ian and I are the legal guardians to 440 children. Our youngest is, where are we? Next. Our youngest is 1 month old. That's Cole. And our oldest is Nokopiwa, who I think some of you have heard of from the Hickmans. And so that's our oldest and our youngest, and we get about 40 children a year. They're all placed with us through social welfare, and we only accept children under the age of 2 years. I would imagine that any ambassador who moves to a new country on behalf of the Canadian government has a lot to learn. They need to learn the language. You know, if you're the ambassador to Japan, language, religion, politics, the cultures and the cultural do's and don'ts. Very, very important as an ambassador. And our ambassadorship is very much the same, but I think that we, being ambassadors for Christ, we tend to need to learn the darker side of things. I think the ambassador to Japan doesn't need to know the darkness of the culture as much as we do, because we are serving God. And where we're serving God, Satan is going to be there, and he is powerful. So I want to share a little bit about the culture of Swaziland with you today. Now, I want you to know about the Christians in Swaziland. They love Jesus. Very, very, very important for you to know that. They love Jesus. The missionaries and the people who've gone before us have done a great job of salvation, and passing on the message of salvation. A Swazi, anytime you ask them to give their hearts to Jesus, they're all going to put their hands up. They've done it more times in their lives than any of us have, because they want it every time. It's free, it's Jesus, and they're going to accept him every single time. But the discipleship part is the difficult part. When they leave church and they go back to their jobs the next day, they go back to their normal lives. And that normal life includes polygamy, ancestral worship, witch doctors, traditional healers, generational incest, child sacrifice, human sacrifice, and so much more. All of these things happen every day in the culture to which we've been called to be ambassadors. And while we may be shocked and horrified by the words I just used, generational incest, you probably never heard those words used together before, certainly not in church, we would all agree that they're sin. It sounds horrific, but it's sin. But before you start to judge, I want you to think about, is there anything that you'll go back to tomorrow, after the service today, that is culturally acceptable here in Canada, but might also be considered sin? Is it a bad habit, a white lie, infidelity, cheating, pornography? Without anyone judging you, aren't those things considered sin? Got very quiet in here, didn't it? You starting to sweat a little bit? Yeah. I once heard it said that the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And that also really landed with me. As ambassadors to Africa, we are called to love. For you, as ambassadors in the Lower Mainland, you are called to love and not be indifferent. So have we become indifferent? That's the question I want to ask you today. Because the culture says that indifference is okay. But it's not okay to Jesus. We are ambassadors in a foreign land with a purpose. And only we, Ian and I, can fulfill the purpose that God has for us. You are ambassadors in the Lower Mainland. And you have a purpose. And only you can fulfill the purpose that God has for your life. I can't do it. Ian can't do it. You can't fulfill the person's purpose who sits beside you. Only you can do that. You are uniquely made and put in that position for that reason. And have you ever thought about that? You know, I think often we think, well, he's really smart, or she loves to pray, and he can do this. But what is the purpose that God has for you? So I want to tell you a story. So all of the children who are placed with us come to us under the age of 2 years. So none of them know their history. They don't know their backgrounds. And when they turn 12, as part of their birthday gift, they always get a cake, of course, and they get something else. But they have the opportunity to sit down with Ian and I, and we share with them their backstory. So it's not something that I look forward to because it's really tough, but we believe it's really important for them to know their story because they have all been rescued, they have all been saved by the grace of God and brought to a place of hope for their purpose to be fulfilled. So when they're 12, we sit down, I have pictures of them from when they were young, we tell them an age-appropriate story. We may not say they were born and dumped in a pit latrine, but we might say they were put in a hole. Because as they get older, they hear more details, and that's part of their testimony. But the interesting thing is, and I always feel that I have the moral authority to sit and have the story because I'm adopted. So if we go to the first picture, there we go. So on the top left hand, so this is what I say to them. I usually use little Lego characters. But my mother was 15 years old in Northern Ontario when she gave birth to me. Only God can make a baby, and God had a plan for that 15-year-old mother. Now, her parents in 1963 were not happy about that. So they said, there's no way that baby's coming home. There's shame in the family. We don't want the neighbors to know. So the baby needs to be adopted. So I was adopted by my set of parents. So there's Janine, has moved to my new family. And fast forward, I had a little bit of I was a feisty child, let's just call it that. And so I got sent off to boarding school. And that's where I met this handsome young man who's sitting here. Ian and I met in boarding school. And then we end up over in Swaziland fulfilling God's plan for our lives. If I hadn't been born to the 15-year-old mom, which was no surprise to God, if I hadn't been introduced to Jesus by my adopted family, if I hadn't been made the way God made me, which got me sent off to boarding school, and met Ian, and I tell the kids this, the 12-year-old sitting there, that we wouldn't be sitting in this boardroom having this conversation. So I have the moral authority to tell them that story. And it's not that I think the child would be dead, because I don't think that the lifetime of a child is based on my obedience, but they would be living in a different place. But the same story is true for them. So their mother might have been 12, 13, maybe 15 years old. She got pregnant in Swaziland. She couldn't care for the child. She went to social welfare or dumped the baby or left the baby in the river and someone found them. And social welfare asked us to raise that child. And then what happens next? We don't know. But life events are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. Hard things are going to happen. But all of those things had to happen for that child to fulfill God's plan for their lives. Isn't that cool? And we look at things. Every single person in this room, you might be dealing with cancer, you might be dealing with divorce, you might be dealing with the loss of a child or a spouse or a sibling. life is hard. And I say to my kids all the time, we never learn anything by doing it right. We learn things by doing them wrong, and we learn things by going through hard. And the school experience that Ian and I had was hard. I loved growing up adopted. I was one of the, maybe the few, who embraced that because I thought I was chosen. I really felt that my parents picked me. And I'd laugh at my friends like, your parents were stuck with whatever came out. But I was picked. When they were trying to be smug and nasty to me, I'm like, no, let's turn that one around. That may have been one of the things that got me sent off to boarding school as well. But Psalm 27, verse 10 says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And I never felt abandoned by my birth mother. But these children that we're raising, there is that sense of abandonment. But this scripture tells them, he didn't abandon you. He had a plan for you. And the plan required you to be born here and to be placed in the home that these Canadians are running. So God has a plan for your life. Have you ever stopped and thought about it in that context? You've been called right here to the Lower Mainland and maybe beyond, like Carol and Barry. You've been called here for a reason. You've been called to this church for a reason. What is that reason? What is that purpose? Now, I want to tell you an individual story and as it relates to culture. This little guy on the screen, or his name is Noor. And go back one slide. There should be one more in there. There we go. Togoloshe. You can look that up. I didn't want to put a picture of a Togoloshe because it's actually a very terrifying, mythical creature. But there's a little boy named Noor. We can go to the photo now. And he was born, and the mother was told that he was a Togoloshe. So a Togoloshe in the culture, that the culture that loves Jesus and believes in Jesus, believes that a spirit can come at night and impregnate a woman, and pretty much all Swazis believe this, as part of their Christian beliefs, non-Christian, but as Christians. And so the mother was impregnated by a Togoloshe, not a man. So she was told, as soon as the baby is born, you need to kill the baby. Well, it often happens. We have had other children come to us that are badly beaten and strangled, but lived. But this one, the mother just couldn't kill the baby. So the baby was HIV positive. The mother was HIV positive. So she decided to just starve the baby. They ended up at the hospital, and she was to give the child the medication and the food, and she just refused. She'd dump it. So when the child came to us, this is what he looked like. You can see there's some burns on his stomach, and that was from a witch doctor that she went to. He was almost 1 year old there. And her plan for him was to let him die, and then she would go back home. This is an acceptable part of their culture. But God had a plan for Noor, and Noor means light. And God said, no, I'm going to let this happen, but I'm going to then move this child to Project Canaan because I have a plan for the child's life. And if you go to the next picture, you actually saw Noor in the video. That's Noor today. He's on medication, he's eating, and he is trouble with a capital T. There may be a boarding school in his future as part of God's plan. But he's a character, but God has a plan for his life. So now, fast forward 10 years from now, Ian and I have to sit down with Noor and have that conversation. Ugh. And it's hard. They're all hard. But he needs to know that the Lord allowed him to be born, allowed him to go through that, so that he would be placed in the home with us, so that he can be used and fulfill the plan that God has for his life. Whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, whatever you're seeing your kids go through or your grandchildren go through, it's part of a plan. And we mustn't forget that. When you're sitting in a Tim Hortons, randomly just trying to mind your own business, maybe you're watching reels, look around you. You have been placed in the Lower Mainland for a reason. God has a plan for you to be here for such a time as this. And don't waste it. Don't miss it. Don't think it's somebody else's, you know, I can only add value if I go to Africa with Carol. Mm-mm. God didn't move you to Africa. He moved you right here. And I don't want you to forget that. So, you know, I look at, where's Carol and Barry? There they are. So Carol and Barry have been clearly ambassadors in exile here, right? I mean, they have such a broad impact. But then God had them come to Africa. So come on up, guys. So they're not only going to Africa and making a difference, but they're making a difference here. They make a difference in this church. But they're also there. So it doesn't have to be just here. If you have family somewhere else in Canada, somewhere in the U.S., you are ambassadors in exile here, but you can also go abroad. And they have done, they from everywhere from here to over there. Every time they meet people, they are ambassadors. And I just want to say a big thank you to you. And if I can also, Pastor, if you can come up. There's a picture of you up there. Isn't that awesome? They got to come up for Christmas. And then I'm going to pass the microphone over to Carol as we ask the next question. Okay. Last slide. No, sorry. Sorry, I forgot. Go back one. So John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." Like, think about that. You think you chose him, but he chose you. He chose you. And because he chose you, you can ask him for anything. You know, we're here this weekend fundraising. We have an event tonight. And we can ask for anything because he chose us. Don't forget that, please, church. So now I'm going to pass it over to Carol and see how many other people from the church have been involved.
Yes. So as Pastor Rick said, our 10 years that we have done this. And to sort of follow up on what Janine said, so I clearly remember the service June of 2016, sitting back there and praying. We knew we were going and praying about what we would do. And as Pastor Rick said, all I heard was build a school. And so because we have a church family, Janine always says it takes a village. You are part of our village. You have been for 10 years. We see the bags and bags and bags of clothes out there today. Someone was telling me that the Bay is closing. You've probably heard that. They went yesterday and bought some clothes for the children at 90% off. So you are our family. Yeah. So we have some questions for you. All of you that have traveled, we know that it's farther than people that go from Atlanta or people that go from Ontario. It is far. You couldn't get any further to go from here. You have to go to Europe and then somewhere in Europe and then go. So all of you that have been to Project Canaan, please stand up. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. All of you, and this includes Brenda Rice. Brenda is our, like, phenomenal shopper. She'll always message me saying, there's a sale here. How many black leggings or how many? I'm like, Brenda, there's 28, whatever number we're on. I'm like, buy whatever size. There's that many kids. Buy it all. So those of you that have donated clothing, please stand up. Yes, stay standing. Anybody that's attended, stay standing. Anybody that's attended one of our events, either the one we had in 2016, any of our teas, yes, we're growing. This is what we wanted to see. Anybody that's purchased an ornament, bought at our Christmas festival, purchased an ornament, awesome. Anybody that has volunteered with Heart for Africa or donated to Heart for Africa, stay standing. And any of you, anybody that has prayed for our children, our Project Canaan children, I know there's people all over praying. Thank you. Thank you from, I knew this would happen. I said to Janine, when I start seeing the number of people Like, we don't know, right? Barry and I in 2016 honestly thought it was one and done. That's what I always call it. We're going, we'll go once, we'll check off our box, we'll go on a safari, and that'll be my Africa trip. And as Janine said, who knew what God's plan was? God was like, no, you're not going once. I've now been 10. I think Barry's been 8 times. And so you as our church family warm my heart that you're praying for these children. You've heard stories of every child. Has Nora's story, every child. They need prayer warriors. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Rick, for our church's support. It's overwhelming.
Thank you. Thank you. Well done.
Well, thank you very much, Janine. And why don't I invite the band to come to the front at this time, and why don't we just quiet our hearts for a few moments. As Janine has talked about that calling, what does that look like for you? What does that mean for you that God has a divine purpose for you? Let's pause and pray. Speak, Lord. Just take your message and apply it now into each of our hearts, each of our circumstances, each of our situations. We wish to hear from you now. Amen.